Bradley, and this is the JersNet podcast. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by Forest Precision Engineering. And I'm over the minute to be joined by Ben Harshaw. Ben, how are we?
Good, Scott. I haven't been on with you for quite some time, so we're looking forward to a good chat and a bit of therapy, as I'm sad of saying, but here we are again.
Oh, definitely, mate. I feel like the same season, same old issues, and I've said to you many times before, Ben, I'm just numb to it all. I feel like I'm just done getting angry and frustrated, but good to hear that you're doing well, mate, and we'll just dive right into it. Rangers played Dundee United on Friday night, Derek McKenzie's first game in charge, and it was a non-event, really. It was a really disappointing performance from Rangers. Rangers drew one each. But yeah, it was 90 minutes of my life, Ben, that I'm not going to get back, but what did you make of it?
Yeah, not too dissimilar to yourself, really. Disappointed with the tempo of how we started to start a season, to start after another rebuild, although which isn't complete, obviously. But you thought a Derek McInnes Rangers team, and this isn't by any stretch, a dig at Derek, but what I expected in the Derek McInnes Rangers team was to be fired up and at it. And we just were so far off that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Dundee United were decent enough in the first half, but I think we made them look a heck of a lot better than they actually are.
Yeah, and obviously when you look at the starting 11, I think a lot of people were surprised to see Ryan Nadiri start up front. And I don't want to single Nadiri out at all, right? But he's one player I'd like to see the back off, right? Because we signed him in January, and it was clear as day it was a project player. It was a player for the future. But I've not seen any positive signs that he's got something about him. So it was a bold call from Derek McInnes to start Nadiri. But there was just no creative spark whatsoever, Ben. None at all. It says a lot, right, when our only creative outlet was through Asgard. And Asgard didn't have a great season last year. But right now, I'm not trying to overreact on anything, but there's still a big rebuild job to do, mate.
Oh, there is huge. I mean, we have built we've built the squad players. We've brought in squad players. Now we need to be bringing in that little bit of X factor, that extra something that's going to get us over the line in games. You know, even if we're not playing well, you know, somebody that the other night's going to grab that game by the scruff of the neck, that creative player. And you know what? We have the fella that'll put the ball in the net, Lawrence Shankland, but he can't do it if he isn't fed the ball at all. So it was really. I just expected us to go take the game to them. Now, I wasn't actually too surprised about Nadiri starting, because I think all the talk was in those early behind closed doors friendlies that he was doing quite well. And I sort of thought maybe they would build from that, but I wouldn't have started him myself. I wouldn't be quite at your stage in terms of getting rid of him, but he certainly has yet to prove himself for me. He needs to start putting in better performance than that, obviously, but he needs to start scoring some goals as well. He was very much below par, but after one game, the good thing about it at this stage, you know, I know we talked at the start of the pod saying it was like, you know, oh, here we go again, same stuff, new season, but I think there's still a possibility of what's gonna happen. The fact that we are, in my opinion, so behind in the transfer market. You know, we should have our marquee signing in by now. The one in our position that should be the one that's going to make the difference. And you don't think that we've quite got that in, other than possibly Shankland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Because obviously, I think Rangers are signing about 7 players or so. So in terms of the business, I'm happy with it. Like, obviously, time will tell if the signings will be good or not. But I like how Rangers have not been messing about. They've been, obviously, getting the business done. Shankland, when you look at all the signings so far, is a marquee one, right? He's the Rangers captain as well. But obviously, there's still a lot more positions to fill, mate. And that was clear as day on Friday, where, like, we didn't look like we were going to score at all. Also, we had a chance in the first half through Shankland with the back heel. Chimiti had a chance when he came on. Asgard obviously got the goal. But apart from that, that was the only chances that we had in that game, yeah.
Nadiri's header as well, yeah.
So there was barely, it was just like scraps, really. There was no real proper clear-cut chances, apart from obviously Asgard's goal. But that was a big concern for me, Ben, on Friday, where I was like, okay, where's the creativity? But one big positive I can take from what we kind of said over the last week or so. We did say Rangers' next two signings will be wingers, and mate, we're starved out in those wide areas, and that was clear as day on Friday night.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've been starved of a proper right winger since Candeias. You know, and how, you know, manager after manager or recruitment team after recruitment team has not sorted this to this point is beyond me. But yeah, that is key. But you know, we need to get these players in now. You know, we've got a big game coming up, European wise. We've got a really important game at home to Hibs at the weekend, and then obviously our next league game is away at Pittodrie. So we need these players in now, and one thing we need to do when we get them in is get them in, and I mean play them, because this whole thing about needing, you know, we need to train for a few weeks, needs this, we can't do it. We need this team badly needs an injection of quality. You know, I'm not at the panic stage or anything, and I've seen people saying, oh, the league's over, and that's nonsense. But you know, we don't want this to become, oh, it's first two games of drop points, so it's the first three or whatever. Then it does start to become, I don't mean for the manager, because I think the manager is going to be the Rangers manager for the next few years, and I hope that is the case, and I think that needs to be the case. But I mean for this season, you know, a season can get away from you quite easily, so we need this injection of quality, and we need it now.
Mm-hmm, definitely, mate. And obviously, we spoke about how Rangers need to improve in the wide areas, right? But what other areas for you do you think Rangers need to improve on?
We need another centre half, at least. We need both fullbacks, in my opinion. I think Romans hasn't looked the same as he was at the very start when he came in. Sort of towards the end of last season, he tailed off a little bit and hasn't started this one wonderfully. But I still think he will be a brilliant player, but I think any footballer will become complacent if there's absolutely nobody there to take your place. He needs challenge, he needs competition. You know, you had Magoma last season, who was decent enough, and he knew if he had an absolute stinking game, Magoma could come in. Right now, you know, as good as Scally is going to be, you'd be very surprised if he was dropped in for Hibs at home, for example.
Mm-hmm, definitely. No, of course, we need to obviously bring up the right back situation, right? We all know my thoughts on James Tavernier, right? It's very well documented, right? But I've got huge concerns going forward, Ben, if we're going to stick with Sterling and McCrory as our right backs. And don't get me wrong, they're decent players, but they don't offer what Tav can offer. And obviously, Tav is brilliant going forward, right? And obviously, Tav's in the past now, right? But I will say, like, I would have given him at least another year, and I'm not saying starting week in, week out, but I think it was clear as day on Friday night, mate, how much we missed him on that right-hand side, because going forward, Tav could create something out of absolutely nothing, and McCrory, decent, right, but he's not a Tav replacement, mate, and I think we need to go back into the transfer window, go back into the market, and actually bring in a proper right-back who could do something similar to what Tav could do in terms of going forward.
Right, well, firstly, on your love for Tav being well documented, I would say restraining order does count as that. So, yeah. But secondly, yes, I think if you're talking about Tav, the player, I wouldn't have been totally against him getting another year as a squad player. But it's not that I'm saying he was a bad captain by any stretch. He was a decent captain, no problem. But this club needed a reset. This club needed a refresh. And so if you were having just Tav, if it was just purely on what player he is, yeah, fair enough. But I just think we needed a new captain. We needed a new we needed to change, because it wasn't working. So that's what I would say to that. But in terms of McCrory, I mean I think the other thing, Tav was such a freak in terms of what he was able to give us going forward. Rangers never will replace James Tavernier. You know, there's never going to be another right back like that. There's no doubt about that. You know, that can score that amount of goals and is that good going forward. So I don't think we were trying to replace him in that sense whenever we're signing McCrory or Sterling for that matter. And I think the fact that this is a different manager, so it's a different style. It's going to be a different style. So I think we may have to get used to the fact that we're not expecting to see the right back, you know, popping in at the back post at every opportunity. However, I'm not judging McCrory on whatever he was on for 20 minutes or so. yet, but I do not think Sterling is really the answer going forward for us at this minute of time. I think he's good. I think he's decent, solid, but I do think I want a wee bit more going forward.
Mm-hmm. And I think in the modern game as well, Ben, right, you need fullbacks that can go forward, right? The game's totally changed now. But obviously, Romans can offer you that, but I do agree in terms of, like, Rangers need to bring in another left-back so he's actually getting challenged. But yeah, I think Rangers do need to go back into market and get in a right-back who, obviously, as you say, there'll never be another James Tavernier again, right? We'll never see something like him again, but someone who can actually go forward and contribute in that way. So obviously, there's still a lot of work to be done, mate. And what do you make of the reaction on social media from a lot of Rangers fans? Where a lot of Rangers fans are like, some of them are already writing the season off and like, lads, calm down, it's only one game.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling, to be honest. You know, as you say, it's one game. And do you know what? In isolation, we want to be winning every game. Don't get me wrong. But in isolation, there are many seasons where you go to Canada, it's under the lights, and a point's not the worst result in the world. For me, the one thing that sort of surprised me, didn't surprise me, but I know that Derek McInnes isn't the man that would ever look for excuses, and he isn't looking for excuses. But it sort of surprised me, and I think a mistake was made in terms of, you know, playing the likes of the Diamande, because then we're like, oh, we've seen this before. Whereas, see if he'd have played the Dragovic, I'm probably butchered that, but yeah. So if we played him, it almost gave an excuse. You'd almost be not less annoyed with dropping points, but at the same time, you'd be like, well, this kid's just come in, you know, he's just found his feet. Whereas, oh, I've seen this before with Diamande. I've seen, you know, I almost think he missed the trick there, because he could have, if it had gone well, putting the kid in, you know, it'd have been a genius. And if it didn't, you'd be saying, well, you know, we've got to bet him in somewhere, because that is an interesting point as well. You have to bet him in somewhere. And where is it? You know, are you likely to go do it away in Europe? Maybe not. I mean, maybe the fact that he does come from Europe and stuff, maybe will benefit that decision. But it's like, when does it? Or do you do it at home to Hibs? Maybe, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously in terms of a like player in the club, obviously there's a lot of speculation surrounding Nico Raskin, mate. I'd be happy to see the back of him. I think he's a good player. He's got all the attributes to be a good player, right? But I don't think he's showed that enough at Rangers. He's just been far too inconsistent for me. I think, if I'm being totally honest, right, he's only had like a proper good consistent 6 months at Rangers, and that was under Barry. And let's be honest, the pressure wasn't on him. So in terms of players leaving the club, obviously Raskin, I do expect him to be off, right? But what kind of fee would you be looking at for Nico Raskin?
I agree with you to a point. I like Raskin. I think he's a very good player, but we do not see it enough. When he's very good for us, he is very good for us. But there's a lot of games of passing by for a player of his quality. You know, the Raskin that we see for Belgium is not the Raskin that we see for Rangers. There's no doubt about that. I think in terms of should he move on, yes, he absolutely should, because now's the time that we can get money for him. In a year's time, it'll be simply, you know, it'll be reduced quite a bit. In terms of what I would take for him, I would probably go about 21, 22 million is what I would be expecting for a, not again, it depends on whether you're getting the Rangers Raskin or the Belgian Raskin, but for what the world has seen at the World Cup, you know, then I think you'd be selling yourself short to go less than that.
Yeah, definitely. Because last season, mate, it was like so frustrating. Like, and obviously, two big games that stand out for me was the one at Hearts at Tynecastle, where Rangers lost, obviously, in split, and the Motherwell one. You're expecting Raskin to turn up in those games, he just didn't do it. And it is incredibly frustrating, because I do agree with you, where it's like, yeah, I've seen him play for Belgium. He's brilliant. At Rangers, though, not so much, but it's like, I said this to my pal a few days ago, where I was like, Raskin, I think, he likes to think he's got the mentality to play for Rangers, but deep down he doesn't. If you know what I'm saying. But he's one I would like to see the back of.
It's like a funny one, Scott.
Reasonable fee. That's a reasonable fee.
It's a funny, Scott, because I value him at like 21 to 22 million, but actually the Nico Raskin that plays for Rangers, to me, isn't worth, like, I wouldn't pay that for him, for us, even if we had that money. So he's worth it, but a lot of that is based on the Belgium. And, you know, I suppose that the very lowest would be 20 million. Though I do think you'd be selling yourself short, especially when we look at you know, what's been offered across the city for another Belgian player who doesn't get in the team. So no, I think that's fair.
Yeah, definitely. But see, in terms of McKinnie's system, right? Obviously, it looks like he's going to play with two strikers up top this season, either like a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-2. But in terms of the strikers, do you expect Rangers to have all four strikers going into this season, right? Because if we're going to play two up top, I think you're going to need to have at least four strikers in your squad. But what do you think will be the case with that?
Yeah, no, I expect all four to stay at this point, unless the only way that I see that is if Miowski maybe throws his toys out of the pram, but I don't know, there's no evidence of that at the minute, or if somebody comes in with a mad offer for Tchouaméni, but I don't think after Friday night anyone's coming in too soon for that.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about Tchouaméni, right? Obviously, when he first arrived at Rangers last year, everyone was like, okay, why are we spending this amount of money on this player? And the first half of the season, he was struggling, right? But then, obviously, second half of last season, I wouldn't say he was amazing, but he scored some good goals, and you really started to see him like come out of shell a little bit. But see, Tchouaméni, there's a player there. Like, he was that goal against Celtic last season, that overhead kick was unbelievable. You're not, see, if you're a bad player, you don't score goals like that. But how do you feel about Tchouaméni then, where if you were down at McInnes, right, you say you get an offer for about £15 million for Tchouaméni, do you keep him or do you sell him? What do you do in that situation? Because that's the thing, Tchouaméni is young and he's got all the qualities to be a top player, I think. But what do you do in that situation, though? Do you keep him for another year where you can actually sell him for potentially more money? Like, what do you do?
Oh, to me, there's no question of that. If it's 15 million, no, he doesn't get sold. Because I think even if he doesn't go much, you know, have an amazing season, I still think he will. You know, he didn't have an amazing season last season, but when you actually look at it, he put the ball in the net quite a bit. Okay, he missed quite a bit too, but he did contribute, and I think he can contribute for this season and hopefully, again, get another year older, get ready, and then I'd be looking to sell him for 20 to 25. I probably expect him to go next summer, but I wouldn't sell him. You know, I might be more tempted at 20 right now. Well, I would be more tempted at 20 because I think we can replace him at 20. But I would be wanting like a sell-on clause on that as well.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, see, when you look at the modern game as well, right, obviously a lot of teams don't really play two up top, but how do you feel about McInnes wanting to go two up top this season?
Well, I feel, listen, I trust McInnes. I think McInnes is the right man for the job. So if that's what he feels is going to get the best out of this team, you know, then I'm happy enough for that. But it can only be done if we sign wingers. You know, you can have 10 up top, you know, if nobody to serve them, then forget about it. But I think Derek McInnes will know what's best. And the interesting thing is, you know, we have tried this, we tried that, we failed this last few years, and the one thing we haven't done is 4-4-2. So, you know, maybe let's go for it.
100%, mate, definitely. But in terms of Asgard, right, we're speaking about him earlier on, right? Asgard was a player last year, but I was like, you know what, I'm done with him, right? Because I think a lot of the players in the squad from last year, I was like, I'm happy to see the back of the majority of them, right? But Asgard, with him, it's so frustrating because I feel like he's a moments player. Like last season, he scored some good goals, he had some good moments here and there, but consistently throughout this whole season, we weren't seeing enough of him. But Asgard, though, it seems like McInnes is a big fan of him. So do you think he's going to play a big part going into this season?
Yes, I actually do, and I cannot believe that I am saying this, because I was completely done on saying, no, he's no good. My concern is that he's a moments player, as you've just said. He's a luxury player, and it's whether we can afford to carry a luxury player plus two up front, or will we become overrun. But maybe we can carry him in certain games, and maybe we can't in others. I think he's going to be an asset this season, I really do. I think we've been lacking a player. We've been lacking a player that, I mean, he wanted somebody to believe in him, and it seems that McInnes does. And that's great. You know, since from the minute he got the Rangers, people are saying, oh, I don't know who's this boy with the hair, and you know what I mean? So I think he just needed, almost this arm around his shoulder, and I believe in you, and you can be the main man. And he's looked decent. There has been, as you say, he's a moments player, but there has been moments. There was a moment against West Ham where he, you know, really broke through the middle of the pitch. Looked really, really sharp, and you know, then Dundee United, there were disappointing moments, but there were also, he's the only one that comes out of it, maybe other than goalkeeper, probably, but with pass marks for me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that, you know, if you think about his Thunder shot there not long before his goal as well, like, if we are Wenish and Johnson and you know, there's 11 men behind the ball, maybe he is a foul that is shooting things like that. Maybe he is a foul to just, we win that game 1-0. That's okay. I don't really care. As long as we win that game, and maybe he's going to be the man to unlock it. I think it's important that we have another thing, because this could all turn out to be same as last year. So I don't think we should be putting all our eggs in the Taylor Asgard basket, but I do expect a better season than him. I mean, started this season at a picture of handoff for some of the numbers that were being talked about him, and now I'd be seriously considering it.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to touch on Finlay Curtis, mate. Last year under Russell Martin, obviously Finlay Curtis started off brilliantly, then he just kind of fizzled out, and then when Danny Rowe came in, for whatever reason, Danny Rowe just was not a fan of Finlay Curtis, right? But it appears that Dan McInnes is a fan of him, and I like Finlay Curtis. I think he's got huge potential. But would you want to give Finlay Curtis a chance this season, or would you want to put him out on loan so he can get slightly more minutes under his belt?
Yeah, no, he's had his loan and he's proved himself. I can't see where we'd be sending him on loan right now, because I think if we send him on loan to Hearts like that, I don't know if he gets that game time. I think he probably would, but we can't guarantee it. Because if someone was in there, and I know people are going to say, well, if he's not good enough for Hearts, how can he be good enough for Rangers? And that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is they had such a set team and things like that, you know, I think he's earned the right to be considered. I don't think he's earned the right to be our starting winger. I don't think we're in a position to be turning away any winger that has proven that he can assist and score in this league, because I don't see it anywhere else at Ibrox right now.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's early days, mate, right? But Ben Godfrey, obviously, he's going to be out for the next 4 weeks. That's a big blow, considering we got him on loan, right? So hopefully this is not going to be a regular occurrence for this guy, because, mate, we've seen over the years, we've had so many players that have been so injury-prone, and fingers crossed, Ben Godfrey's not going to be one of these guys who's going to be just on loan and barely featuring because he's always injured.
Yeah, it's a big concern, and it's a concern because as soon as he put it up there, seeing him holding the hamstring, I was like, oh no. And I don't know why, but for some reason I have it in my head during his time at Everton, he was injured quite a bit. It's a concern, and he's the type of player, his career was going that way, mm-hmm. And then it seemed that injuries, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed that injuries sort of kicked in, and it's been going another way since, and possibly that's why he's playing in the Scottish League right now. The problem is, I think he's actually looked reasonably solid since he's come in as well, but the concern is, it's not like we're coming down with alternatives. That's what I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to ask you about Derek McInnes after the game, right? A lot has been made of like the way he reacted towards the referee. A lot of people are saying in the media, right, they're like, oh, I think McInnes is showing signs of pressure, he's feeling the heat. But what did you make of McInnes? Obviously, first game in charge, right, not happy with the result, but he goes on to the pitch and he's basically in the referee's face. Did that concern you at all, the fact that like he's acting like that after his first game in charge?
What, that he's showing passion for the club that he supports and manages? No, I don't think so.
Mm.
I'm more than happy with it. I remember Walter having many an interesting discussion with referees. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, so no, it doesn't concern me. As long as he's able to be measured, he doesn't need to be doing that every game. You know, he needs to show that he can be calm as well. But Derek McInnes knows what he's doing. He's been around the block, and yeah, I've no concerns about that.
Mm-hmm. And but obviously Derek McInnes, though, like, he's a manager that I've been wanting at Ibrox for years, mate. Like, he knocked us back 9 years ago, and I totally understand why he did, because the club was a mess behind the scenes, and we obviously gave it Graham Murray until the end of the season. But I actually think, right, you were mentioning earlier on, you can see Derek McInnes being at Rangers for the next few years. I think this will be Derek McInnes' last club job in football, because he knows this is a pinnacle for him, right? So, like, for example, I know it's early days, right, but just say Rangers don't win anything this season, do you think Derek McInnes would be here next campaign?
That's a tough question, I must say. What I was going to say is, yes, I said I think he'll be here for years, but I suppose that does depend on results. I mean, if we start like Russell Martin, the words we shouldn't say, you know, he'll be in trouble like anybody else should be in trouble. I think he's going to struggle if he wins nothing. Although, do you know what? That ask me that again at the end of this transfer window, because if we do very little more, then I think he's got a reason to say, well, you didn't back me, that's why we didn't win any trophies. If we do the business that we need to do and we go in there with a you know, I think we should be competing for at least one of the trophies. We should be competing for the league. There's no doubt about that. We should be competing for all of them. Because the other squads don't frighten me. Yes, they've sent a decent centre forward, no doubt, but you know, they're starting from very little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously I'm gonna put you in the spot here, Ben, right? Obviously we're talking about like what positions that Rangers need to strengthen in. Is there any players out there that you would want to see Rangers sign that Rangers could realistically get? Obviously, Lewis Ferguson, that's not happening, sadly, right? Let's be realistic about that. But is there any other players out there that you would like to see Rangers go for?
I'm struggling to think right off the top of my head. No, you're stumping me, to be honest, because I'm trying to think of realistic targets. I mean, the boy Dahl was obviously of interest. But I'll be honest with you, you know, everyone goes mad excited for these players. The truth is, half of us don't know a thing about them before we've seen them. And we've also been told so many times, this boy's coming in, he's a superstar. I mean, Cifuentes is going to take us to the next level. I'm still waiting on that one. So, you know, you have to try and trust in the club that they will manage to put it off, although thus far that faith maybe has not been answered.
Mm-hmm. And you know what one of my biggest pet hate is, right, when it comes to like the transfer window, is like, for example, I do a lot of TikTok lives, right, and people come in and ask me like, Scott, would you bring back Tierney, would you bring back Aribo, would you bring back Kent? I'm like, lads, we can't keep going back to me all the time, like
the whole Tierney debate, would it be heartbroken if he walked through the door? No. But not at the money that's being talked about, not at the wages that are talked about. For me, I liked him. Thought he was a good player, worked hard, but I thought he was a one-trick pony. I thought all he could do was cut in. And I know people will be saying, well, yeah, but it worked. And it did, but I just have a feeling that there will come a point where it's found out. And I think that's possibly why he's never really been able to take the step to that next level. Mm-hmm. And actually, for me, if it was bringing back a player, I would go Seymour over him. Not that that's necessarily an option. I wouldn't. The one that's been doing the rounds is as backup or as challenge for left back, Penrice, and I certainly wouldn't be against that. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a decent signing. But I'm also interested. We need to start seeing some players leaving as well. You know, if Rafa's going to go, we need to start putting our foot down. And the thing is, there's been no actual offer, but that's what the agents are supposed to be getting. You know, mm-hmm. if these teams really want them, they need to start putting in offers. Same, like, you know, we're carrying like Lyle Cameron, who I think's probably been unfairly treated, really. I think he never got a fair run of it. I'm not saying, and I'm not sure that it would have been the answer or the way to take us forward. But I think we never really got a chance to know. But at the end of the day, I'm not seeing them training and things like that. So mm-hmm. I think we need to be moving on with Lexi Gassama at this point as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Gassama there as well, mate. Like, last season when he came in, I was really excited to see what he can do, and he's been a big disappointment, mate. He's one that I'd like to see go as well. But in terms of midfield, mate, we need to start cutting down that midfield, man, because we've got way too many midfielders, way too many.
Way too many, yeah, absolutely. It seems irresponsible to have that many in one position. We're lacking so much in others, you know. We need to move it on, and for the sake of the players, I understand that some of these players probably will not be going through a move where they're going to get as much money as they're probably on now, certainly in the case of maybe a Cameron and things like that. But you know, we need to start doing that so we can start bringing players in, and it's I'd imagine it's just awkward around the place in many ways too. Like, you want to build up this new fresh start, and these boys are hanging around because they have to, because they're under contract, but they know they're not wanted, and I'm sure at this point they probably want to move on too.
Yeah, no, definitely, mate. But see, one player that I'm really excited about seeing what he can do this season is Cammy Devlin. I think that's a great bit of business. Obviously, Lonnie Shatton's a marquee one. I think he'll be really good for Rangers, but Cammy Devlin, I think he's the real deal. And I'm not like being hyperbolic saying that. Like, I watched him a lot at Hearts, mate. He's a good, good footballer.
I actually liked him before Hearts. I actually watched him way back in the day and thought, there's something about this guy. Like, he's not the best footballer in the world by any stretch, but you just can't stop watching him because he's just like the energizer bunny, you know, and he's just fearless. He's exactly what you need. He's what a good team needs. You know, he can break up any sort of play. He sets the tone he expects off his teammates. Like, he's in there as if he's played for Rangers for 10 years in terms of his mannerisms, how he's getting about the place. I really like him. I don't think he's necessarily for every single game. I think there's certain games where we can be a little bit more creative and things like that, but in some games, I think he's brilliant. I think, you know, away to Tannadice, there's no other player I'd want in that position in the midfield.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to touch on Europe, right? Obviously, Rangers got a big game in Europe this week in Europa League qualifiers. If I'm being totally honest, Ben, I'm not fussed about Europe at all this season. And I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm just being totally honest. I think we've been spoiled over the years having so many iconic European memories, but we've neglected what's been happening in the domestic front. So I think whatever happens in Europe happens, right? But we need to put all our attention on trying to win this league, mate, because we've neglected that for way too long now.
Oh, no doubt. But the one thing that I did note was when the big South African signed, you know, he did mention how big a draw it was to come and play in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for the club going forward, that we're still doing that, so that the next player that we want to sign sees that as well. And but your point is a good one, and is right. We need to focus domestically. You know, let's be honest, we're not going to win Europa League this season. But we have a chance of winning things, and we have not been winning things enough. So we need to focus on the domestic game. And if that's a case of, you know, your Shanklin doesn't play in Europe, or Miowski is your European striker, things like that, no problem at all. You know, I still think that Rangers should be able to put a team out that can be competitive against the likes of this team. I think they're decent from what I've heard, but, you know, we should be able to, over two legs, in my opinion, take care of that. But if you give me a choice of to lose one of the next two games, I'm losing in Europe happily and beating Hibs at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. So what kind of team would you go with on Thursday night, mate?
Depending if McCrory's fit, I'd probably think about giving him a start in there. Did we hear about the visa for the new defender?
I'm not sure if that's been confirmed yet, mate. No, I'll need to double check.
I suppose that's going to make a big deal. I mean, Sterling's going to have to play a centre-back as well, if not, yeah. I would imagine. So there, your back four basically fits itself, because we don't have any alternatives. Obviously, keeper stays the same. I'd think about maybe giving Chukwuma a game in the midfield in place of Diamante. And then I think you could do worse than have Finlay Curtis having a run out on wide area. And then obviously my strikers, Tremedy's going to come in for Nadiri. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think you're still going to obviously keep Asgard in there at the minute.
Mm-hmm. And I was speaking to my pal about this all day, right? And he asked me the question. He was like, Scott, if Rangers drop into the Conference League, right, and you had the choice, what would you rather, win the league or win the Conference League? Right, so I'm going to ask you the same question. What would you rather this season, right? I'd pick one. Rangers win the Conference or win the league?
League.
I agree.
I mean, had we won, maybe it'd be different if we'd won two out of the last three leagues or something like that. I might forego it if it was what it used to be like, where we're almost guaranteed to win it, won every couple of years or whatever. But it's been, as we've touched upon, it's been too seldom a thing. So
yeah, and just to finish off, mate, obviously the appointment Dennett McInnes, it's a right one. The reaction on social media is just typical Rangers Twitter, mate. They overreact over absolutely everything, right? But I do believe Ben, he's the right man. It should have happened years ago, but it's happened now. And one thing I really do like about Dennett McInnes is the fact that, like, he's a good Scottish manager, right? No Scottish football inside out. He's won trophies at Rangers, so he understands the club to a T. But I do love how he's bringing back that kind of Rangers core to the club. Yeah. Obviously, Lauren Shacklin, Rangers man, he's a skipper. He's bringing in, like, guys who know Scottish football well, Cammy Devlin. And Alan McGregor, obviously, back and amongst the coaching staff. But I think Rangers have been lacking that Rangers identity at the club for far too long, mate, and I think Dennett McInnes is the right appointment, though.
Oh, because there's no conversation there for me. Dennett McInnes is exactly what Rangers need right now. Rangers need, we don't need a tactical person right now. We don't need a philosophy coach. We need a figurehead. You know, we need somebody to grab this club by the scruff of the neck and I cannot think of anyone better than Derek McInnes. I mean, we're gonna look at the same names again. Was it gonna be Gerrard? If it's Gerrard or McInnes, it's McInnes for me. Was it gonna be Muscat again? If it's Muscat or McInnes, it's McInnes for me. I mean, he's proven that he can do well in the league. He gets the club, and he knows how to get the best out of a group of players. All right, we haven't seen it yet, but I'm confident that under him we will.
Definitely, mate. Because I'm totally done going through that October cycle, mate. I'm sick to death of it. Where after Danny Rowe left, I was like, okay, I think that was right for all parties because Danny Rowe, I liked him. He was always great to deal with in the pressers, right? But I think maybe he was the right coach just at the wrong time, perhaps. But right after we came back for the split, mate, I don't know what happened in Spain, but it was a totally different Rangers. And obviously, his handling of the Tav situation might have been the final nail in the coffin for Danny Rowe because he lost 4 games in the bounce, and that's just unacceptable. So I think it was the right time for all parties to go their separate ways. But yeah, mate, I don't know what I'll do, mate, if we're in October and McInnes doesn't work out and we're back to the same old cycle. I'm done with that, mate. I've got no more patience left in me. Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you very much for coming on.
Cheers, as always, my friend.
And obviously this Friday, guys, I'll be on with Big Kyle, who will be making his debut on the Jersey Night podcast. So I'm looking forward to that. And until Friday, guys, take care and I'll see you soon. Cheers.